Great. Okay. I'm calling to order the meeting of the Central Arizona Independent Oversight Committee. We are on meeting virtually, and the meeting is being recorded for our minutes. I want to, for the record, the attendees are myself, Holly Giesel, as co-chair, Geraldine Roll, Jack Potts, Rachel Strife, Sabrina Taylor, Summer Walter, and our, I don't see Josh Mozell on yet. So those are the members of the committee who are present. We do have a quorum. Matthew Moody has joined, so he's also present. We have a quorum, so we may proceed. In terms of guests, we do have Katie Williams, who is attending her second meeting, not her third, her second meeting, and she will be here with us during the business portion of the meeting. And until we go into our training session on the use of the portal. And we have Joel Thompson also, who is a potential member. And I believe this is Joel's second meeting as well. And so he'll be with us until we go into the training session. At the beginning of the meeting, let me also ask if there's any board member who, in looking at the agenda, has a conflict to declare in advance of the time that we take up any agenda item. Anybody have a conflict?
No.
Okay, great.
No.
Thank you. Proceeding. Updates from our community partners. Do any of our partners have an update?
I can go, Holly, if that's okay.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there, Mental Health America got a grant to provide workplace training for teachers and educators. So it's
yes.
A free program. And we're just looking for places that would be interested in it. It's like an hour training, hour and a half, goes over the basics of how to have a mentally healthy workplace and basic mental health concepts, so that, you know, the building awareness and education on these side of topics. So if anyone has anything there, anyone that they think might be interested, feel free to connect them with me.
Great. Anything from our health plan representatives?
Hi, Holly. This is Joe with Banner.
Hi.
Hi. We have no updates at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Holly. This is Dawn McReynolds from United Healthcare.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi. We don't have any updates either. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Holly. This is Maria Reyes with Blue Cross Blue Shield Health Choice.
Hi.
We have no update.
Thank you all for being here. Anybody else?
Good evening, everyone. This is Adonis with Mercy Care.
Hi.
Also no updates at the moment.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
I'm sorry, Holly. This is Karen Ulick from Arizona Complete Health. No updates. I just wanted to note that I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Karen. I see you there. I should have seen it earlier. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Larry, any updates from ADOA?
I do not have any updates for the committee tonight.
Okay. And Frederica, of course, your update is you're going to do our training for us at the after we finish this portion of the meeting. And thank you very much for doing it tonight.
Absolutely.
Any of our other IOC members here, Lori Goldstein, or the Southern IOC, or Northern IOC? Okay, moving on, we're going to go to our unfinished business. Matthew Moody has compiled a response to Mercy Care's response or non-response to our request for documents or explanation of how Mercy incorporates guardians and works with guardians in the in terms of interacting with members. Matthew, do you want to briefly explain what you're proposing, and we'll have a brief discussion and decide what the next step?
Yeah, so just so everyone remembers, we brought up the question about guardianship and how it is set up to allow the guardians to consent to treatment and not the actual person experiencing or getting treatment. So if someone has a guardian, their guardian should be able to say they qualify for counseling, we're going to have them go to counseling, you know, those sorts of things. So initially, we sent that request to Mercy Care. Holly, would it be appropriate to show what I sent you and
yes,
earlier in the week?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me just share that. Okay. Let's see. Can you see that right there? Or no? Oh, good. Yep. Okay. So, Mercy Care responded with, "We respectfully ask that the request be narrowed to allow for a meaningful, comprehensive response. We further object to the request insofar as it goes beyond the IOC's authority to request proprietary and confidential business policies and records." So, you know, and looking at this in my proposal here, I don't believe that we're asking for anything that is confidential or proprietary. We're asking for how they carry out what's in the AMPM. And the laws of the state. So my proposal is, after careful review, the ISC disagrees with both the request and the objection. A request to see procedures and policies regarding the activities in the AMPM is focused and specific. Additionally, we're not requesting any proprietary information, simply what steps Mercy Care takes to inform and train clinics of their specific requirements of the IOC. We formally request that Mercy Care provide information in the next 30 days. IOC is happy to meet with Mercy Care to answer any questions. Specific questions Mercy Care may have about this request.
Thank you. And I do want to clarify for our minutes and the record, we certainly are not asking for proprietary business documents. We are simply wanting to understand Mercy's policies and how they are incorporated in dealing with members who have a guardian. And I hope that by sending the letter that Matthew drafted, we'll be able to get a response and we can have a conversation with Mercy instead of sending back and forth, letters.
Let me ask, I think at the end of it says requirements of IOC, Matthew. Wouldn't that be requirements of the state? It's not our requirements that the guardians have that. I'm confused. To what requirements are you referring? Do you see my question?
Mercy Care, I'll carry it again, sir. I'm referring to what they said. So this is their response, but it's highlighted in blue.
I know that. I'm looking down here at your response, the last line of the first paragraph. Clinics of the specific requirements of the IOC. I thought you were trying to get the specific requirements of the state that guardians be informed. See, I'm confused. And what are our specific requirements you're asking for?
Simply what steps Mercy Care takes to inform clinics of this specific requirement of, I can shift it to the state, or what is it a requirement of, Jack?
It's what requirements you're talking about. You see what I'm saying? It's requirements that guardians be informed of Title 14. It's not our requirement, okay. It's a state requirement. Does that make sense, guys?
It does. So what I would like to do is I'd like to have a motion that Josh or I will work with Matthew to finalize the letter to incorporate Dr. Potts' point, and it will be sent out on Monday.
I think you already have that motion, and I think we had agreed that Matthew should pursue this. I don't think every time we need to do a follow-up, you need another motion, but it's up to you. I mean, I'd vote for it. I'll move it if you want.
So that I would entertain a motion that we finalize the letter to reflect Dr. Potts' points and that it be sent out on Monday.
So moved. I second the motion.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 Great. Motion passes and we'll get the letter out on Monday. Hopefully we'll have some conversation. The next issue on BB and Haven Behavioral Hospital, Dr. Potts requested that that be on the agenda.
You all have an email in front of you regarding this and the other issue. The point being is that this was the case that we were bypassed on regarding the daughter dying while she was pregnant after being released from the hospital. We did not investigate that. That was erroneously sent to directly to Mercy Care. I think we should see what was their conclusions and response to BB regarding that. We have authority to investigate that. We were asked by the mother to do so. So I think we need to see how they responded to her concerns since we could not initiate that. Does that make sense?
It does. And Frederica, you got that. I think it was sent from Larry to Frederica. Frederica sent it to Mercy. Did you receive an update from Mercy as to their investigation?
No, I did not. And I would not receive that.
Okay.
All right. And so who would receive it?
Well, it's not in my wheelhouse to receive that. I just got the information and sent it on as it was a public. That's how it came to me. So the only time I would get it back is if it came directly from the IOC.
So I suggest we ask that I would, I think a motion to say that we formally request an investigation. And if one has been done, that we are apprised of the results of that investigation. So it is coming from the IOC. That I don't know how else to move forward on this to see what has been rectified. This is a case of death, and there was one on Channel 12, I understand, of the same ilk within a week of this. So this is not an isolated issue, but it's one that certainly is not getting the attention of the IOC. Partly because we were inadvertently bypassed, but we need to get back on track. I don't know how to do it.
Okay, so normally, Larry, when we get a request to the IOC, we ask you to forward it to the agency for a response, right?
Can you rephrase that question? Because I don't.
When a complaint comes into the IOC, we are required to provide a request in writing to the agency that we are asking to look into it. We give that request to you and you send it to the agency, correct?
Correct.
That's okay. Correct. All right. So I will send you an email asking that you transmit to Mercy Care on behalf of the IOC, the complaint that was received at the IOC's email and which referenced Dr. Potts in the email copy. Communication. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you'll send that to Mercy.
Actually, Larry sends that to me, and then I send it to Mercy.
Right. All right. So we're going to duplicate.
Yes.
Okay, great. Then we will duplicate what happened 2 months ago, but it will be, or whenever it happened, 5 months ago. But it will come directly as a request from the IOC because the email came to the IOC.
So we need to vote on that then to make it a formal.
Correct.
So I would move that we do what Holly just suggested. We take the complaint or concern for that in toto to the IOC, to access through routine channels.
I second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? So the item carries.
And you have the copy of the initial one, or do you want me to resend it to you?
I believe I have it. Thank you. Okay. If I discover I don't, I'll follow up. Thank you, Dr. Potts. Okay. The next item on the agenda is also an item which Dr. Potts requested be on, and it's a follow-up item.
This is one, if you look at your, some of you may remember, I think, and I need to ask Matthew this, I think you sent a letter on this, didn't you, or not, about a year ago to Mercy Care. We certainly did send a letter. This is about a person who was, some of you weren't on the committee. The forms are not done. It was someone who was trying to abuse the civil commitment process.
Right.
And we raised an issue. And if you look at what I sent you on page 3 of 7 of the Secretary of State's response, it references the letter we got. And my point is, this is a concern we had. I spoke with the complainant at length, and they continued to pursue this after the doors were shut in our face. And as you can see, the Secretary of State referenced, because she provided this to the Secretary of State, all of this, and then ended up sanctioning the notary and noting the problems with the agency and the commitment. It's very detailed Secretary of State response. But it said, you know, the IOC, the connection said the notary book will not be provided as is irrelevant. In fact, it's public record. So I'm just saying this is an issue where we were stonewalled, and a private citizen then pursued their own investigations. This is only part of the investigation, but something we tried to raise. So it leads me to look at what the relationship is and how come Mercy Care blocked us, when in fact the Secretary of State, the Attorney General's office, made a finding that this was a problem.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for following up and learning about the investigation by the notary board, by the Secretary of State's office. This was a complaint to UPC. The complaint was about UPC.
And it was sent to us, and we inquired about it formally, and we got shut down, and we didn't follow up. That's one of the problems with not following up on some of these.
By UPC?
No, IOC did not follow up after the initial response by UPC.
Okay. But earlier you said that Mercy Care stonewalled us. I think you meant UPC.
No, Connections AZ. I did not mean Mercy Care. I said Connections AZ is the one that stonewalled us. And that's in reference in that page 3 of that letter that's bracketed.
Okay. I recall this letter. I don't recall exactly when we got it. Do you have a better time frame for us?
Yeah, last spring of 2022 is when we were going through this. And it says the date of December 16, 2021. So it must have been late 21. This letter from the Secretary of State came October, was dated October 24th, 23.
Right.
It takes
a while. Yeah. Well, and in the meantime, this complainant has certainly suffered and been caught in a system that seems a little crazy. And Josh Mozell has joined us now. Hi, Josh. So, Dr. Potts, what are you asking us to do at this point?
I'm wondering, I think we need to think about it, because we have been stonewalled on a number of letters sent back to us are sort of like just stonewalls. And if you see, there is some real issue here. I mean, this is a very serious issue for people undergoing civil commitment. And think, Jerry, I think you'd agree, you know, this borders on criminal. And that's why there was reference to the referral to the AG's office. So, I mean, there's some real issues here that I think we try and look at, but we're not pursuing when we should. I'll see if there's more on this, because there's other complaints we asked. We may want to revisit the letter we initially sent, because we also asked about who was the medical director. You know, are physician's assistants allowed to do that and sign off? And we didn't really get any real answers. And we have already passed a motion to investigate that. So maybe we can, I couldn't find the letters in my records. Maybe Holly or Josh or Matt could find it, but I'll look again. But this is something we may, that's where it's important, Matt, to keep these on the to-do list and follow up. And yeah. I think a perfect example is what you're doing on the guardianship. Is we just don't take it lying down. We go back at them again and say, what's going on? And this shows what this shows. This is a proper outcome that we should have had resolved a year ago, I think. Just FYI.
Well, let me make one comment. So she basically got the notary held accountable for what the notary had done, but the notary has to respond to, she complained to the attorney general. The notary has to respond to that investigation. And so they conducted the investigation. We don't have powers like that. Having said right. that, I agree with everything that you're saying. Over the few years that I've been, or the many years I've been on the IOC, what happens is we will find something that happened. We'll write a letter. The agency, whether it's Access or Mercy Care, whatever, UPC, will write back a letter saying, screw off, go away. And to a certain extent, that's what we've done. And I think we need to have a conversation about following through. Unfortunately, I think that's going to require, in some circumstances, court action. I think all the providers have learned that the IOC isn't going to push back if you just tell them to kick sand. And so we have to figure out, we have to design a way to push forward. And I think the only way to do that probably is to at least to start, go to court on some of these things.
Can I ask a question on this one? Because this was a little bit before my time, but I have some questions. So someone was petitioned for an involuntary evaluation and felt that it was done falsely, if I'm hearing this correctly, and that they should not have been petitioned, and they're going after the person that notarized the petition. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. Whether or not it was a false, whether it should have been, the person should have been civilly committed or not, is not the issue. The procedures and rights of the person who was being civilly committed were not protected.
Were they civilly committed or were they?
No. For
evaluation.
For the application for an involuntary evaluation. Okay. So for the petition. Furthermore, there are about a half a dozen other things that weren't correct. We received
the petition?
Everywhere.
Well,
so what one of the things is when she sent a letter saying I want the records, they said, oh, we have no records. So we requested them and she found other records. I mean, it was just a real snowball. So I want to ask, I think it would be appropriate to then revisit this by having the committee approve a letter back to the Connections or Mercy Care. What corrective action that was in the memo I sent everyone. What corrective action has Mercy Care demanded of Connections AZ UPC or AZ UPC in reference to this complaint? Does that make sense to say, was there a corrective action and what was it?
I think it only makes sense if, because what they're going to say to you is, go away, you're not worth our time and you haven't given us enough specific information, or we don't want to talk. So they're going to send us back the same letter saying to just go away. It only makes sense if we're willing to take the next step and go back at them.
Well, I'm willing to draft the letter to ask, because we did formally open an investigation to which they replied. And after that replied, we didn't do a whole lot because like, well, what do we do now? So now that we have some facts, I think we should just go out and say, well, here are the facts. Here's what the findings were. And you responded to us erroneously, clearly, when we asked for the notary page, he said it's irrelevant.
I'd like to have a hybrid between what Josh suggested and Dr. Pont suggested. I agree with Josh. If we're not going to be prepared to do something, if they don't respond this time, we shouldn't waste our time. I would be in favor, we don't have to vote on this, but that we do send a letter on the presumption that we are going to follow up if the response we get is not complete and responsive to what we're asking. Sabrina has her hands up, and then Matthew.
It's just information. I know that this employee, this notary, was reassigned and is not dealing with admissions. She's in an administrative position, and it was probably in response to this and some other things that happened. And there's also new management over at UPC, so you may get a different response, but it may also be she was reassigned. Next question. So
No, I know she's reassigned, and my sense would be to look at the original letter, to go back and say the Secretary of State found this, you know, and what are the corrective actions you've taken? Because my guess is it's not just her having made that error, because it, period. But yeah, I agree with Holly. So
Matthew?
If we're going to continue the request, you know, I'm just asking from a strategic perspective, since we've already sent this and we're concerned with Josh, you know, but Josh is saying that this will, we'll get another, you know, form answer, boilerplate answer. Can we just state in there that our next step is to do X, so that they're aware that we will go to, I don't even know, Josh, who the higher authority is, but like we are saying we will go to the courts or whatever, so that we, you know what I mean? Like put a little teeth on it.
So if I could just ask Josh a thing. So you're saying, you know, we need to be prepared to take the next step, and that may be court action. So the complainant in this case was somebody who had been civilly committed. Is that, or they attempted to the civilly committed Dr. Potts?
No, there was just a petition, an application for an evaluation of the petition to get them evaluated at the UPC.
And so that they was did, were released, right? They were released.
No, they were never picked up. It expired. Never picked
up. Oh, so the petition expired.
Yeah, and I think because the police were told they didn't think it, the police thought it was a bogus one as well. Because the person misquoted the police and lied in their affidavit according to the police. So it went away.
I got a question here. I was
Rachel, can we Geraldine, it sounded like had a question. I thought a follow-up question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the complainant, I think, probably has a cause of action, right? I mean, if applications are being completed and then a screening agency is completing the petition for quarterly evaluation, and they are all false or done improperly. I mean, I'm just wondering, Josh, does the IOC have the ability to bring that forward on that complainant's part?
No, I would say no. What I'm thinking is, you know, when any agency, whether it's UPC or the REBA or whatever, comes back and says, shut up and go away, you don't have a right to any of this. I think that we need to be going to the Superior Court and asking for a, you know, declaration of what our rights are. Explain to us this statute that it seems like says we have the authority to access this information. This agency is not providing it to us. Can you guys adjudicate it for it? That's more what I mean. And the two, the Southern Arizona IOC did that, I don't know, 15 years ago. It takes a hell of a lot of work, and I think Snell and Wilmer did the case for them. Lewis and Rocha did the case for them, but they ended up winning that case. So that's kind of what I mean, is we have to show them that we're going to be serious.
That we're going to be serious. I think Josh has a really great point.
Yep.
So can I make a comment?
Sure.
Okay.
Rachel.
I had a mother that turned in a petition for her sick son, and the individual accepting the petition, like, grilled her with a million questions, asked, because she looked Hispanic, how she could have filled out a petition so eloquently, and acted all suspicious. And I brought this to the attention of there was a Title 36 review. It is not the job of the notary accepting the petition to evaluate the truthfulness of that petition. The notary, as I understand it, is only supposed to say, yeah, you are the person, check their ID, make sure that it's filled out completely and that they are the person who is turning in that petition. That is my understanding of that notary's responsibility. This person never got picked up. Someone figured out it was a bogus petition. It's not the notary's job. It's certainly not UPC's job. Why are we even talking about this?
But Rachel, because this is only one of five issues. We know it's not the notary's role, but if a notary isn't even doing her job on her level, as the Secretary of State pointed out very clearly, that's one cog of the wheels that screwed up. There were five other issues that were brought up that were wrong. So that's why it's not the notary. We don't care about the notary, except that's part of the machine that needs to be working properly for everyone. Because frankly, if the court said this notary document, they'd have thrown the whole petition out no matter who is. So this person
getting tossed anyway. So
no, it didn't. It didn't get tossed. It got ignored. But the bottom line is harm was done. Our rights were violated, and there are five other issues we tried to investigate, and they shut us down on. So this is only one of the issues.
All right.
So here's, I guess, what I think we have is a different case than we had a year ago or whenever this came up. We now have a finding by the Secretary of State's office with some significant result. So I think my suggestion would be that we take the report from that you got from the Secretary of State's office, Dr. Potts, we send it back. And as the IOC, we investigate using that letter as the basis, the human rights violations that fall under our purview. And we need to figure out what those are. Because it isn't our job to investigate notaries. It's our job to investigate rights violations that are set forth in the statute and set forth in the AAC. So that's my question. What are the human rights violations that are in the AAC or the statute that occurred here? And I think we probably don't have that well articulated in our minds. And so I would like to suggest that we, maybe Josh and I, take a look at this letter and at the notary packet, and we come back as co-chairs with some recommendation as to the exact next step that we take, and we'd be prepared to take that at that meeting.
Yeah, look at the previous letter we sent Mark.
Right. Okay.
From December. Yeah, I agree. Good idea.
Okay. Any other discussion on this item?
Just one last little piece. So, if I recall correctly, petitions that are not, so applications for quarterly evaluation, emergency applications, petitions for quarterly evaluation, if they are not acted upon, they are held by the screening agency for 6 months before destruction.
Yeah,
right.
Right. And HIPAA in particular has some very specific and even greater protections for mental health or substance abuse records. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have those records. We have a signed release by the complainant.
Right.
And we also, one of the issues is they lied and said, we don't have any records. Remember that UPC said, oh, we have no records. And in fact, they had them. So this was not fair to anyone, many steps.
So you're really going to the bottom of their administrative and management processes for running, acting as a screening agency.
Well, just want to see
when those applications come in, who screens them, who notarizes them, and what kind of
what if any corrective action was taken?
Okay.
I mean, should Mercy Care be looking at this? If the Secretary of State found something that was egregious, you think Mercy Care would be? But enough. I mean, I agree with what
we've got to tie this to a rights violation over which we have jurisdiction under the AAC.
And we sent that letter in December of 21 with that rights violations.
Good.
We voted on it and sent one before.
Perfect. Okay, we will, so we will pull that letter. Josh and I will look at it, and then we will return to this. We are coming up on 6 o'clock. We're going to adjourn shortly to go into our training session, which is a private training session for members only. We have some visitors on tonight. I'm going to do a brief call to the public. Is there a visitor or a member of the public who would like to address the committee? I don't hear any. So before we adjourn, I want to make two announcements, both sad in different ways. Joy Green has resigned from the committee because of family issues. As you know, she wrote a very nice note, but her husband has had some health challenges, and then she needs to spend more time with her two daughters. And so we have lost, other than Dr. Potts, our longest member. She had come on just before I came on, or maybe months before I came on, and has always been a very diligent member. And I would like to, at the end of this year, recognize Joy for her service. The other very sad report is that our former member, Kathy Rowe, passed away. Kathy was one of the bravest and most tenacious moms I've met. She worked very hard under challenging circumstances to get to meetings, to participate. She had wonderful insight on what it was to be a mom in the system. And she did resign earlier this year because of personal issues that she still had to deal with. I think we all should remember these two members and be grateful that we knew them, and realize how blessed we were to have them in our lives and as members of our committee. If anybody wants to say anything about these two members, particularly Kathy, in her remembrance, I'd like to hear it before we adjourn. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to say something real quick about Kathy. I met her, and this is all, she stated all this in public meetings, but I met her when her daughter, who's one of the more mentally ill people I've ever met, was stuck in a jail in Missouri. She called and said she was sex trafficked out there, and I don't know how to get her back. And Kathy scraped together some money, got out there. And one thing about Kathy is she could talk to anybody. She could connect with almost anybody immediately. It didn't matter where they came from, who they were, how old they were. And so this guy who was running the jail, she smoozed him. Her daughter gets released, but she had a warrant in Texas, so she was sent out to Texas. Kathy goes out to Texas and schmoozes the Texas jail. And they let her out, and then we got her back to Arizona and into the state hospital. But one of the more special people that I've ever come across, just a zealous advocate for her daughter, always trying to do whatever she could to make her daughter's life a little bit better. Anytime she came into my office, she brought 3 Bundt cakes, which, you know, I always was trying to be on a diet whenever she brought in those cakes, but always bringing gifts, always a smile on her face. And I, for one, am going to miss her sorely. So anyway, it's a big loss.
Thank you. All true. All so true.
I'll echo that. I went on a lot of site visits with Kathy and Joy. They were very close friends, Joy and Kathy, and Joy often picked Kathy up. Mm-hmm. She was a East Coast. Her dad or son is a cop. A couple of them are cops, come from a cop family. She's a special education teacher. She filled that role for us, and she was just a fighter, but optimistic. She was on the Glendale Parks and Recreation Board, as my understanding, so she's well known by the police department there. She was an informant in some ways for the police where the drug deals were going down. She did not live in a very nice neighborhood. And at times she'd be scared, but she wasn't someone who ran in fear at all. She would not at all. But I really did respect and care for her, and it is a loss to the community, to the Glendale community, and to her children. But anyway, I agree. Thank you, Josh. And Holly.
All right, thank you. We will, we are going to adjourn now, the committee will, into the business, into the educational portion of the meeting. Thank you all for attending.
I move we adjourn. Do we have to have a motion to adjourn?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Larry, would you tell us, thank you all who attended very much for doing that. We appreciate your being here every month. Larry, can you tell us what we need to do next?
Yes, if you could just hold tight here and let the people drop off the call that needs to drop off. And then we can go, Federica can start the training.
Great.
Have a good night, everyone. This is Joe. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks,
thank
Joe.
You,
have a good
Joe.
Thanksgiving. Have
thanks.
A good Thanksgiving,
happy Thanksgiving,
Joe.
Everyone.
And it looks like Karen, oh, Karen's still, oh, she just dropped.
Yep.
Okay, you're good to go. And let me just go ahead and stop the recording for you.
Okay.